Amen, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. And here's what I thought would be a great idea about the giving. You know, there's five different ways to give. Just give five different times, and you'll actually learn the format in the process. So it'll be a good deal, okay? I mean, why not? It's just be a great deal. We're going to start a brand new sermon series today, and it's about evangelism. We're going to talk about the Great Commission. But we're going to look at it from a different angle so that you guys will really see what the Lord is asking you to do, okay? So we've called it, if you don't, then who will? Because candidly, you know, if you and I don't do what God asks us to do, who's going to do it? In today's sermon, I titled it, His Request Was Insane. Okay, because what Jesus has asked us to do in the natural is absolutely insane, and I'm going to show you why, but I'm going to show you what he did to help us accomplish what he's asked us to do. So it begins with Matthew 28, and this is called the Great Commission. So he says, go therefore and make disciples, okay? But where does he say make them? He said, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I want you to go teach. And what I want you to teach is everything that I have commanded you. So it's not a short list, it's a long list. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Well, if you read this real quick, you go, okay, wow, you know, we're just going to go make disciples, we're going to baptize, and, you know, we're going to teach. Well, this is cool. Wow, okay. All right, here's where we go. What is a commission? Well, candidly, a commission is an instruction, but it's a command. And it's a duty given to a group of individuals are given to one single individual. What is important for us to understand is the Great Commission is not a request. You know, Jesus didn't sit around with the 11 disciples and went, okay, guys, you know, if y'all got nothing to do, you know, after you go to the show on Friday night, you know, why don't y'all just go out and disciple a little bit? It's not what he said. See, the Lord sat down and said, guys, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go out and make disciples. I want you to baptize them. I want you to teach them. It's a big task. And again, it's not a request. The problem with the New Testament church today is that we have really looked at some of the things in Scripture as a request. But see, it's not a request. And what's really sad, I was trying to bring up the number, but most people, the percentage was super high, that have been in church life for years have never led anybody to Jesus Christ. Have never led anybody to Jesus Christ. And that's sad. Okay? Because if you're here, somebody shared Christ with you. And it is our task to go out and make spiritual grandchildren who will go out and make spiritual grandchildren so that they too will understand the blessings that God has given to you and me. Now, in Acts, it says, after he had said these things, okay, he shared what they're going to do, and the Bible says that Jesus was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, it says, as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. Well, bring it to today's culture. Okay? Now, if you and I go into the world today and we talk about Jesus Christ, we try to make disciples of people, okay, that God told us to do, and we tell this story. We go, you know, Jesus gave the disciples a commission, and they were standing there, and all of a sudden, he just started lifting up, and then he got lost in the clouds. The world would go, you have lost your ever-loving mind. Okay? Well, if you're standing there and you're doing this, and somebody says, what are you looking for? And you're going to go, well, he was here a minute ago. They're going to go, who? Jesus, he was here just a minute ago. And what really scares you in today's culture, there's two guys in white coats standing next to them. In the medical field, that means that you're in danger, okay? Because those guys are probably going to take you to a mental institution, you know? But it's scary. Now, candidly, in the story with Jesus, they were there to give encouragement, okay? Their statement was, what are you looking for? And see, the New Testament church today is like this. We're kind of looking for Jesus to come back. Well, we want him to come back, but when he comes back, Jesus says, I want to see you guys working. I don't want you just looking up in the air. I want to see you guys working. And that's where the church is not doing today. We are building that building over there not to build a brand new building. We're not going, wow, look at our building. What we're building that building for is to minister to more people like you and me. Amen. Okay? Amen. 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 And I got to tell you this, people like you and me are classified as people who are 3 fries short of a Happy Meal. Okay? That's who we are. We're imperfect. And there's tons of people out here just like you and me. And they need somebody to care enough to share Christ with them. And it goes back to the title, if we don't, candidly, who will? So, now, Jesus is wanting us to do this Great Commission. So, he's up. He's gone. We're confused. And then, you know, prior to this, he tells his disciples, hey, if you guys take the task, I want you to understand the world hates me, so they're going to hate you. Oh, yeah, I'm really excited now about taking this job, Mike. Yeah, I'm all over it, man. I want the world to hate me. Well, then you really begin to think, this is insane, man. Why would I want to do this if the world's going to hate me? I don't want to. And then Matthew says that Jesus had talked to his disciples. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, so we have a choice. God is not going to force us to make disciples. But he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross. Now, here is what pick up your cross literally means, that you're signing your death certificate. Because you're giving it all up. Okay, man, I'm really all over this one now. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be the front one in the line to take this task on. No, it's insane. Why do I want to do something, one that I have a difficult time to explain? If I do it, the world's going to hate me. And now you're telling me that if I'm going to follow you, I got to pick up my cross, which means I'm going to sign my death certificate. No. And then he even goes a little bit further. He says, for whoever wishes to save his life, you're going to lose it. Well, yeah, I'm really getting really involved now, man. I'm getting excited about this request. Everything that you're asking me to do, I don't want to do. Well, go back to the beginning. It's not a request. It is candidly a command. Now, what I don't understand is when Jesus picked his disciples, I wish we could do this with the volunteers, okay? When Jesus picked his disciples, he said, John, come on, let's go. And John went, oh, okay. Dropped everything he was doing, he was following, okay? Every disciple that he picked, he just said, come on, let's go. And the thing about it is they gave up everything. They gave up everything to follow him. You know, today, it has to fit someone's social agenda. And we've got to get to a place today to go, no. No. He said, pick up your cross and follow him. Now, I know we all have life, and sometimes because of where we are, it's important just to get away. I understand that. But see, Jesus is asking them to do something in the natural that truly would be insane today. You know, society lied about him. They made false accusations about him. They beat him up. They spit on him. They made fun of him. And then they crucified him. And Jesus goes, I want you, in all honesty, to go out and be just like me and make disciples. Now, again, in the natural, do I want society to lie about me? Do I want false accusations to come against me? Do I want to be beaten and spit on and somebody make fun of me and then nail me to a tree? No, I don't. I mean, cut to the chase and be honest. I don't want to do that. They gave up their lives for him. Now, think about little disappointments that we've had in our lives, okay? In these guys, for 3 years, they gave up everything. They gave up their family, their friends, their job, their money. They gave it all up. And they're going, wow, man, this is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. We are here. And then they're told the world's going to hate you because they hate me. And I just have to tell you, church, that Jesus' request to go into the crazy world. Think about today. Think about where we are just in the political realm of our society today. Does anybody want to bring unity? Everybody wants to bring division. And then for us to go into this crazy world, to go, I want to make you a disciple, my response would be, no, thank you. I don't want to be a part of your craziness. You know, I love the little deal on Facebook says, not my circus and not my monkey, okay? And I really want to do the same thing. I mean, I want to sit there and go, this is not my circus and that's not, I don't want to be a part of the craziness of where we are. But you see, God looked at us and God says, you need each other. And we do. Amen. And someone cared enough about me one day that looked past all of my beliefs, that looked past all of my political ties, that looked past race, that looked past financial issues, that just saw a guy that was broken and busted, a guy that was a drunk, and said, let me share a story with you, and it has changed my life forever. Well, if he didn't, who would? And we have to look at the same way today. If you don't, who will? And it's very easy in the natural to go, I do not want to be a part of the circus, because it's crazy for us to even think that we could do what God has asked us to do. Let me go to this one. John writes, so Jesus was saying to the Jews, okay? He is literally talking to the Jews. He said, the guys who have believed in me, he said, if you continue in my words, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Okay, let's put it in today's culture. You go next door to your next door neighbor. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Your life's a mess, Joe. You're drinking too much, Joe. You know, Mark, you're smoking too much weed. You and your wife are fighting. What do you think is going to happen? Oh, thank you so much for coming in and sharing. No, they're going to slam the door in your face. But these are things that God wants us to do. And I'm telling you, in the natural, you would go, this makes no sense. I don't want my neighbor to be mad at me. I don't want my car egg, my windows broken. I don't want to go tell somebody that they're wrong. But see, the Lord says, I didn't ask you. The Lord says, I command you to go into the world and make disciples because their life is a mess, just like ours was at one point in time. And people loved us enough to do it. So we're trying to make a decision. Are we going to go? Are we not going to go? Well, in the book of John, he says, this is a conversation that Jesus is having with his dad, he says, don't take them out of the world. Wait a minute. I don't want to be in this crazy world, okay? I mean, I don't want to do it, but he says, keep them from the evil one. Okay, I'm cool with that. You know, I don't want the evil one to be after me. And he says, they're not of the world. They don't understand that. And we don't understand that. And it says, even as I'm not of the world, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. Amen. Great statement, but what in the world does it mean? We got no clue. We're confused. And Christianity is confused today. Why? Because no one goes out and makes a disciple. See, we have bought into the circus. And I got to tell you today that the world is giving away free tickets to be in all of this craziness that we're doing today. John goes, as you sent me into the world, Jesus was sent here for you and me. But then he also says, I also have sent them into the world. You in this room have people that I will never be able to touch. You have neighbors and friends and family, co-workers, people that you come in contact with. You will be able to touch them in a way that I cannot. And our Lord said specifically, you sent me, and now I'm sending them, but it says, for their sake, I sanctified myself so that they would be sanctified with the truth. Here's the visual. God has given us the truth, which means we can rise above the circumstances and the situation in our life because now we have a solid ground to stand upon. The world has to stand on the sinking shores, but you and I have been given the word of God, which is a rock, and you and I can stand on that word no matter what the situation or the circumstances are in our life. Well, again, in the natural, Jesus' request is insane. And that's the problem with the church today. We look at this to go, I can't do that. And in all honesty, we can't in the natural. And you know, I don't want to live in a chaotic circus kind of world. I want peace. And only God can bring peace to you and me. You know, I want brotherly love. I'm tired of everybody trying to split us apart. And you know, a guy stood up the other day and he said 23%. I think he dropped it down to 17% of Christians have gone out and voted. Can you imagine if Christians would take this job seriously to go out and make disciples, what we could do in regards to the cause of Christ to change this world from the circus that we live in to something that is peaceful and tranquil because God is center focus in everything that we do. And why people would rather live down here versus up here, I don't know. Now, he begins, and if you and I begin to take this task, the Lord says this, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So if you guys are struggling today with family or friends, if you're struggling with addictions, if you're struggling with employers or employees, whatever your struggle is not against flesh and blood. So you go, wow, okay. But then he says, but it's against the rulers and the powers and the forces in the world. See, Satan has got a hierarchy. If he can't get you with the patrol officer, he'll send the sergeant. If he can't get you with the sergeant, he'll send the lieutenant. If he can't get with your lieutenant, he'll send the captain. But he's going to try to get you. So we have to understand if we're going to do what God has commanded us to do, that you can't do it in the natural. And Christianity is losing because we're trying to do it in the natural. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and it has to be fought in a spiritual way. All of the smear that you get on Facebook, unless it points one to Christ, doesn't need to be said. Because the fight that we got today is an evil fight where Satan wants this world split in half. But there's one God, there is one faith, there is one way, and God wants unity of his people. And I believe we could get there if we took this place serious. Now, Acts says, okay, you know that you're going to have a spiritual fight. You know that you're really struggling. We know that this is a bigger task than you could ever do in the natural, but. So he tells his disciples, guys, I'm going to be leaving. But before you go, Daddy's got a present for you. Amen. And he says, please don't leave till you get it. Well, what did they do? They prayed. And when we're down and out and don't know what to do, the best place is get down on your knees so you can get up to God. And they prayed. And they prayed. And they prayed. And then one day as they were praying, they ushered in, because of their obedience to God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit changed their life. Now the Bible says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the word power means miraculous power. It means that you will have a miracle-making power that the world does not have.
Hallelujah.
But why did God give it to us? For one reason, so that you and I could be a witness. It says in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. You translate that in today's culture, that means that we're going to be a witness in our community and in our state and in our country, and to the remotest parts of the world. That means we're going to be a witness everywhere. And the only way that we'll ever make it work is through the power that the Holy Spirit provides you and me. And it takes us out of the picture, and it puts him in the picture. Now, in John 17, again, he said, don't take them out. Well, see, God doesn't want the church not to be active anymore. He says, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Because he says, they're not of the world. If you are a born-again believer, if you have prayed to receive Christ, if you are filled with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you are no longer of this world.
Amen.
You are not in the circus any longer.
Amen.
Your tickets are no longer good. Because God said, get out of the circus, rise above your circumstances, rise above your situation, because I've sanctified you. I set you apart because you don't need to be like the world. Well, you go, wow, that's getting pretty good. Okay. Well, in John, he says, for their sake, I sanctified myself. And they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. If there's anything that this world needs today, church, is the truth. Because this church is being held in bondage. You know, I was born in 1953, and I've seen a revelation of divide come to unity, and now we're going back to divide again, and that's a bunch of nonsense. We have to put this world back together. And the only way that we'll ever get it back together is for the world to know the truth, because the truth sets us free. God did not die for the white folk. God did not die for the black folk. God did not die for the Asians. God sent his son to die for everybody. And if we all cut ourselves in this room, one thing you'll see, we all have red blood. And that blood that Jesus shed on the cross washed everybody in this room. Well, see, God looks at us And you know, it's going to take pastors and it's going to take people like us in this room to go, I'm tired of the nonsense, but let me share something how you can break the chains in your life. And his name is Jesus. Now, all that the disciples saw and all that they were a part of allowed them to witness the power of Jesus. Everything that they were going through was in preparation for a bigger day. Everything that you guys are going through in this room today is in preparation for God to use you in such a mighty way. And what does he want to do? He wants us to be a witness to the world. How do you become a witness? How can we draw somebody's attention? Well, can you imagine if we're sitting here having a party and you guys run out of wine? You're going to, oh, my gosh. Well, you know, some people drink wine. It's cool. Okay. But, you know, the disciples were sitting there and Jesus said, go get me some water. And they went and got water. And he turned it into wine. I went, wow, you know, that's pretty cool, man. And then healed the sick. He showed power over nature. You know, I mean, the guys are out fishing, and they fished all night long. They caught absolutely nothing, and Jesus gets involved. He says, put your net on the other side. But just put it on the other side, and they did. And they filled the boat almost to the place that it sunk the boat, and it showed his power. You know, he cast out demons. He raised the dead, and he stills the storms of life. And I love this picture. He fed 5,000 people.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Now, you know, we joked on the first service. Now, can you imagine if you're the little boy? Here comes this big guy. You know? What you got there, son? No more you don't. Okay. Jesus, I've got bread and fish. Right? And the little boy is going over there, but that's my lunch, man. But you know what it says in the midst of the picture or of the scripture is that all the 12 disciples left with baskets.
Hallelujah.
The little boy, he didn't leave with nothing, man. I mean, he's just sitting there. But what he witnessed is that you cannot buy. He witnessed the power of God, and he witnessed that his little measly bit of nothing, God took his nothing and turned it into something. And he lived the rest of his life that way. And I want you guys to understand, we are all like that little boy with the lunch sack. And God can take our nothing and turn it into something if you're willing to let loose of it and you give it away. You know, the thing that was so awesome is that they saw the power of God. Now, this is kind of a twofold, and I don't know if you've ever seen this, but in John it says, believe me that I am the Father, and believe that the Father's in me. Okay, that's the first thing. But then he goes, okay, otherwise, if you don't want to do that, you know, Linda, if you don't want to do this piece of it, believe this. But then he goes, but believe because of the works. And can you imagine, church, if we all took this serious? And you and I would do what Jesus has done with the boldness that Jesus did it, how awesome it would be in regards to be a witness to the power of God. Because he says, truly, truly, I say to you guys, he who believes in me, the works that I do, you can do also. But then he says, even greater works than these can you do because I go to the Father. Church, we have the opportunity to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What an awesome, awesome responsibility. Now, Matthew says, and Jesus came up and he spoke to them. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you stand on that word, you know, I mean, literally take and begin to read the scripture and understand it. He says this in Matthew 18:18. He goes, I say to you, okay, all authority has been granted to him, but he said, I say to you, whatever church you bind on earth, I'm going to bind it in heaven.
Amen.
And whatever you loose on earth, I'm going to loose in heaven. Why? Because all authority has been granted to him. And where does Jesus live today? Inside every born-again believer. Amen. And if he can bind and if he can loose, then through his authority, church, we can do the same thing. Now, the other piece is so cool because we're afraid. We live in fear. But he says, behold, I give you authority, not power, but authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That ought to make you stand over here now to go, okay, Satan, you want to play? We'll play. Because I got authority over you with the promise that nothing will injure us. Now we go back again to Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Church, we run from the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's one of the most important things that we have. God is in heaven. Christ sits on his right hand. He has left with us the Holy Spirit, and we need the miraculous power to be a witness to this world. See, Isaiah said this, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord." If you're a born-again believer, you've heard the voice of the Lord. Okay? Have you always done what he asked you to do? I was 38 before I finally said yes. But he says, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And finally, Isaiah raised his hand and he said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Amen. Well, I got to tell you, every hand in this church needs to be risen and raised. Because the Lord wants to send you. And again, if you don't, then who will? Now, the definition of a disciple is a pupil. That means that you are going to raise someone up. Now, in the book of Mark, some people will say it's not in the original transcript, but it's in the Bible. But it says, and he said, go into all the world. It's another commission. It's Mark's commission. The other one we had was Matthew. But he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These are the signs that will accompany those who have believed. He says, in my name, in Jesus' name, okay, not in ours, but in his name, we can cast out demons, speak with new tongues, pick up serpents, drink poison. You know, it will not hurt them, and they can lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. That's his promise. So these signs, again, you know, only in Jesus' name can we do the things that Jesus has asked us to do. Now, here's how I want to end this. God knew the condition of the world. He looked down at you and me and said, you guys are a mess. Christ knew the condition of God's heart. And God knew the condition of Jesus' heart. And Christ's death fulfilled the works of the cross. Christ now sits on the right hand of God the Father. You and I have become the hand, the feet, and the voice. We have been commissioned to make disciples. And church, my question is this. If you and I don't, then candidly, who will? Let's give God a hand clap of praise.